Before any of you complain that there is no question mark there, this isn't a question, this is an answer. All right? And it's based on what it says in the Bible. It's not my opinion. Okay, so it's an answer. How to make the best of the rest of your life. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, pages 1139. Page 1139. It's only two verses that we're going to look at this morning. Who wants to make the best of the rest of their life? We all do, don't we? Don't we want to make the best? You people at college, at university, you want to make the best. Dads want to make the best of the rest of their lives. Mums, grannies, grandpas, aunts, uncles, we all want to make the best of the rest of our life. Otherwise, it's a waste, isn't it? We want to make the best. People want to make the best of their lives. That's why, come New Year's Eve, people start thinking about New Year's resolutions. They think, oh, I'm going to make the best of the rest of my life. Some people are going to exercise more. Some people are going to eat less. We want to make the best of the rest of our lives. And that's what I want us to just think about for a few moments this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, speak to each one of us this morning, I pray. Speak to each one of us. Amen. But I want to talk to all of us about making the most of the rest of our lives. Making the most. Let's read from the Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I've got four points that I want us to consider together this morning. The first one I've called focus. Here in this passage it says, in view of God's mercy. How often do you and I look at God's mercy? Part of our church service is looking at God's mercy. We have thought about God's mercy this morning. And it gives it here as an aim. It says, listen, listen, look at God's mercy. Look at God's mercy. So what is God's mercy? God's mercy is this. He created planet Earth. He put Adam and Eve in that garden. They messed up. I've got a little plaque at home. It says, it's all Eve's fault. All right, I like to say that to people. It's all Eve's fault. I don't believe it. It was Adam's fault as well. They messed up. And what God could have done, he could have just sort of crumpled the whole thing and chucked it in the waste bin. But actually, because he knew what was going to happen. He'd already got a plan together with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He'd got this whole plan together. And it was the plan of paying the price of sin. In one of the old hymns, it says about Jesus, he only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. He only. It was Jesus, only Jesus. God's mercy is this: sending his Son into the world, and he came willingly. To save sinners. St. Paul writes to Timothy, he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul attaches on that, of whom I am the worst. I don't know how you compare yourself with Paul. Are you as bad as him? I guess sometimes some of my thoughts are as bad as his. Listen, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He knew what was going to happen. He knew. And he didn't object. He tried to persuade the Father to find a different solution, but he said, not my will, but yours be done. In human terms, what he suffered was horrendous. In emotional terms, it was worse. Jesus was cut off from his Father. He was cut off from his Father. Many of us know what it's like to be cut off in a relationship. You've lost a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Someone has died. Listen, it's awful getting cut off. And Jesus on the cross was cut off from his Father. He was cut off. He says, oh God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? He was completely... Listen, folk, we have a marvelous God, a marvelous salvation. Do you know, when we come and celebrate communion, we drink wine. This isn't wine, this is non-fermented wine, like we have at Alpha. It's like we have at Alpha, because I stole a bottle just now from the Alpha cupboard. But when we drink this, we are drinking forgiveness. Do you know, because the Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. This isn't blood, but we are sort of buying into what this represents. This represents the forgiveness of sins. It represents. Maybe you've never ever done that. You've never ever bought into the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is here this morning and he says, listen, come, receive forgiveness of your sins. Receive it. And during the last song, if you've never done that, if you'd like to come and take a drink and say, what you will be saying is, Lord Jesus, I accept what you did for me at Calvary, what you did for me when you died on the cross. Lord Jesus, I'm accepting the gift that you have for me. Thank you very much. Some people think that you have to get right first before you drink. No, no. It's the drinking that makes you right. It's the drinking that makes you right. Because actually, we cannot do anything. We can't do anything to pay God back. Can't do it. Yeah? Do you remember, some of you parents, that first little picture that your child drew, and you thought it was absolutely wonderful? But I tell you something, if you took it to Sotheby's, you wouldn't get very much for it. Do you know what God says is wonderful? God says faith is wonderful. The book of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is taking a drink and saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for what you've done for me. I accept your great gift to me. If you've never ever done that before, today would be a wonderful day to do it, to just come and take a sip. You can tell someone afterwards, do you know, it's the first time I've ever taken a sip of God's forgiveness. And that sip will cover you for the rest of your life. You don't have to keep coming to sip, except to remember and to remind yourself that that is what you have done. So when we come to take a drink, we come to say, thank you, Lord. I'm free. Because when you become a Christian, that's what you are. You have tasted of God's goodness. And the scripture here says, in view of God's mercy. Listen, folk, we need to remind ourselves, not just on a Sunday, but every day, of our great, majestic, merciful God. Because he is wonderful. He is marvelous. And when we look at that, we suddenly forget about ourselves. When we look at him, we need to meditate on this. We need to meditate. We need to let it come in over and over and over again. We need to get it to sink in really deep. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, you need to do it again and again and again. Because this is the stuff of faith. We sometimes sing a song. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. What's your hope built on? Do you know, this is the only guarantee. Jesus' blood is the only guarantee. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. In Psalm 119, we read this. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. And Phil Moore, writing about this, says, our only proper response to Jesus' sacrifice must be to pour out our lives in obedient worship. This morning we've been worshiping. People have been putting their hands in the air and they have been singing and enjoying God's presence. Okay? But actually, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. David wrote this in Psalm 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. God loves it when we worship him in faith and in obedience. All right? And the next bit of our scripture, it talks about us being living sacrifices. And the second point that I want... Oh, what's happened here? The second point that I want to make is that we should volunteer. In the Bible it says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Offer your bodies. How do we do that? How do we do that? I'll tell you how we do that. Is we say, Lord, here am I. Lord, here am I. Lord, I'm going to do your bidding. Yeah, you wake up on a Monday morning and you jump out of bed and you say, oh, not that it's Monday. You say, Lord, I'm here to do what you want me to do today. For many people, it's go to school and work hard. For others, it's go to work and work hard and make a difference. Occasionally, very occasionally, he will say, take the day off. But we need to offer ourselves, offer our bodies as living sacrifices. This is what Paul is saying to the Romans. He says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. We don't like sacrificing, do we? Do we? It's all right if we go and take someone else's calf and cut it up, isn't it? But that's not sacrifice. Sacrifice is giving that costs. Giving that costs. It's saying, hey, Lord, here am I. Whatever it's going to cost, I'm going to do. Whatever it's going to cost, I'm going to do. And at that point, some of you get terrified. I've got a friend in Tunbridge Wells, and the lady there didn't become a Christian for some months because she thought that she would immediately be sent to Africa as a missionary, and she didn't want to go as a missionary to Africa. Listen, God knows how we're thinking. He doesn't sort of think, ah, yes, you find you the most awful job ever. No, he doesn't. He doesn't say that. He says, come on, where you are, let's make it good. Let's make a difference. Sacrificing to God isn't easy, but it's very beneficial. Because he doesn't owe anyone anything. He doesn't owe anyone anything. He doesn't, oh. He doesn't think to himself, I've caught that nitwit Vic now. No. He says, hey, son, let's do this. Let's do this. Sacrificing to God is hard to start with, but it gets easier and more fun and more fun. So how do we do this? It says, think differently. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. First of all, it says, don't conform. Don't conform. It's easy to want to conform, isn't it? Who likes to look odd? I don't. No one else does either. We don't like to look odd. No, God's not asking us to look odd. That's a great relief to you, isn't it? God's not asking you to appear odd. But he wants us to be different. Different isn't the same as odd. It says, be transformed. Be transformed in your thinking. Be transformed. You see, God's got different standards, and one of the things that why we shy away from God is we think that his standards are too high or too different. But no, we just want to continue doing something that he said, look, I don't want you to do that anymore. Do you know when God says, I don't want you to do that anymore, he means it because he loves us. He's a father. He says, look, I don't want you to do that anymore because actually you are spoiling yourself. You are spoiling others. He says, I want you to do different things. It happens in the way we speak. He wants us to be different in the way we speak. The language we use. Some people who, the moment they become Christians, they find that they no longer use some old-fashioned words. You know what I'm talking about? Suddenly, they don't want to swear anymore. He wants us to be different in the way we handle our relationships. He wants us to be different in the way we handle our drinking. He wants us to be different in the way we handle ourselves at work. He wants us to be different in the way we play golf or football, or get involved in any other leisure pursuits. He wants us to be different. And, do you know, we need to allow him to transform us. Allow him to change us. Doesn't happen instantly. Some little things happen instantly, but mostly it's growing. growing. You see, it all happens up here. It's a question of renewing our minds, thinking differently, choosing to think differently. All sorts of things bombard our minds every day. And we can choose to go along that path, or we can choose to think differently. He says, I've set you free. That means you can choose. Some people are not set free. They can't choose. But when we come to Christ, he sets us free. J.B. Phillips put it like this: don't let the world squeeze you into its mould. Don't let the world. Hey, don't let your classmates squeeze you into their mould. Don't let your football friends squeeze you into their mould. Don't let them squeeze you into the world's mould. Say, I want to follow Jesus. And the result of all this is amazing. St. Paul goes on and he says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Testing and seeing. Trying it out and seeing. He says, look, St. Paul says, look, I guarantee you this. This is what God is about. He says, taste it and see. At Sunday school, I learnt this years ago. Real joy is Jesus first, others second, yourself last. If you don't go away with anything else this morning, go away with this mnemonic. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. We don't like that sometimes, do we? But when we look at God's mercy, think again of God's mercy, his wonderful, wonderful mercy. Is this a lot? This is nothing when we think of what God has done for us. Magnificent God who says, hey, I see Vic. Do you know, I like him a little bit. No. I love him. God says, I love that Vic. Some of you know me a bit better and think, I don't know why. But God says, I love you. I love you. I like you too. I like you. Some people talk about loving people but not having to like them. It's a load of rubbish to me, but listen, I love Vic. I like him. It's what he thinks about you. He says, I love you. I like you. So, to make the best, four things. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. All right? Otherwise, the rest becomes a heavy burden. Focus on Jesus. Once we've focused on Jesus, the rest is to volunteer and say, here I am, isn't difficult. Thinking differently. and then tasting the amazing result. Tasting the amazing result. We're going to sing a song, I Will Offer Up My Heart. This song is based on this piece of scripture, this piece from the Bible. And while we're doing that, if you would like to be prayed for, for anything, or if you'd like to come and take a drink because you haven't for a very long time or you've never done it before, please, please feel very welcome. No one's going to be inquisitive of you. It's between you and God. So can we have the band up, please? Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great love for us. Lord God, thank you for your great plan of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you love each one of us. And Lord, our desire from this moment on is to make the best, the very best of the rest of our lives. Amen.